Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Monday, April 28th. Firings and a vote of no confidence are rocking Imperial County government. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A toxic algae bloom in coastal waters from San Luis Obispo to San Diego has killed dozens of marine mammals, including whales. Health and environmental groups have labeled it an extreme danger zone. It's the fourth straight year this type of algae bloom has been detected. Experts are calling it the worst one yet. They suspect wildfire debris and fertilizer runoff are fueling the spread of the toxic algae. At least 16 dead and dying dolphins have been found in San Diego. The federal government is restoring the legal status of international students whose visas were terminated in recent weeks. San Diego State University says three of its four students whose visas were revoked have had their status restored. UC San Diego says 18 students' records have been reactivated. Those of 17 others remain terminated. Tammy Lin is an immigration attorney.
It's, to me, a little bit of a bright spot that the administration backed down. Because all along, the claim has always been that even if their statuses were revoked, that they do have due process, and the threats of immediate, you know, expulsion seem to be very fear-oriented to try to chill the population.
The Associated Press reports that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is developing a framework for future student visa terminations. In the meantime, ICE will not modify student records solely based on criminal record checks. Eight critically endangered Fijian iguanas rescued from illegal trafficking in Spain are now at the San Diego Zoo. It's an international rescue mission 8 years in the making. The iguanas were among more than 600 reptiles seized by Spanish authorities in 2017. Zoo staff say they're in high demand on the black market. The zoo says its geneticists will work to help conserve the species and determine whether they can return to their native islands. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Now on The Finest, San Diego's outgoing and incoming Poets Laureate discuss being a government artist and bringing poetry to life across the region.
Poetry has a way of winning anyone over if you are exposing them to anything beyond their misconception or stereotype of poetry.
Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Imperial County Board of Supervisors held a vote of no confidence in their auditor controller last week. Imperial Valley reporter Corey Suzuki says the decision comes just 2 weeks after they fired a top administrator.
The auditor controller is Imperial County's chief accountant. They oversee all financial transactions and conduct independent reviews of the county's operations. For 3 years, Karina Alvarez has served in that role, but the County Board of Supervisors isn't happy with her work. During their meeting on Tuesday, County Chairman John Hawk said they were seeing major delays on key payments and financial reports.
This department is putting the county at risk. It's putting the county at risk in our credit rating.
Alvarez pushed back against the criticism. She says she inherited a troubled department, which was left reeling after the previous auditor controller was convicted on corruption charges in 2022. Still, the board chose to publicly reprimand Alvarez with a vote of no confidence. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
Dozens of people protested before the Grosmont Union High School District Board meeting last week. Education reporter Katie Anasta says the board had a chance to vote to rescind layoffs of dozens of staff, but didn't.
In late February, the board voted to cut dozens of positions, including all of the district's librarians. Board member Chris Feit cast the only no vote. On Thursday, he made a motion for the board to consider rescinding the layoffs.
I make the motion that we rescind all the layoff notices.
Is there a second? Seeing no second, we will then move on.
That was Board President Gary Woods. At the end of the meeting, student board member Maggie Kelly asked why the layoffs were necessary.
I feel like no reason has been communicated, and it just feels like there's not any listening happening.
Board member Robert Shields says students' needs are changing, and he wants to know how else they might spend that money.
The staff, led by the superintendent, is going to be making recommendations to where to reallocate our resources in the best interest of students. I would like to hear that before I make a final decision.
The board has one more meeting before the layoff notice deadline of May 15th. That meeting is scheduled for May 8th. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The city of San Diego observed Arbor Day Friday by planting trees in parks and along the streets. The city also has taken steps in another beautification project, putting power lines underground. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge checked in on their progress.
The city began a program to put power lines underground in 1970. They just completed undergrounding in Bay Park, and last month the Rolando neighborhood was finished. The undergrounding program in San Diego is funded by a surcharge on local customers' SDG&E power bills. Chelsea Clatius manages rights of way for the city's transportation department. She says burying power lines and getting rid of the poles isn't just beautification. It's protecting people from fire and power outages.
At the core of this program is safety and reliability. So we prioritize areas of high fire risk. So it reduces the impacts to the energy grid.
She says San Diego is about one-third of the way through the task of undergrounding power lines. So getting it all done will take 50 years plus. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Medi-Cal, California's Medicaid program, covers nearly half of all Latinos in the state. In San Diego County, 44% of Latinos rely on it for doctor's visits, prescriptions, and emergency care. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says proposed federal changes could put that coverage at risk.
Republican lawmakers are proposing work requirements for Medicaid eligibility. Adults aged 18 to 65 would need to work or volunteer 20 hours a week in order to qualify. This and other changes could lead to nearly 2.3 million Californians losing Medi-Cal coverage. More than half are Latino. That's according to a new study from UCLA's Latino Policy and Politics Institute. Arturo Vargas Bustamante is one of the authors.
They don't necessarily come with employer provided health insurance because these individuals work as independent contractors.
He says not having fixed hours can make it harder to consistently meet the job requirement.
So Medi-Cal is actually the one that comes as insurance of like last resort to cover these demographics.
The proposed work requirements are part of a broader push to cut federal Medicaid spending. It's backed by eight California Republicans, including San Diego's Daryl Issa. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Are you ready for the next election? Local politicians seem to be. In our next Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis explains proposals for new potential taxes.
The County of San Diego's two Republican supervisors say they were not invited to the State of the County speech. Their colleague, Supervisor Tara Lawson-Reamer, gave the speech at the Museum of Natural History. If they had gone, they probably would not have liked her suggestion that it's time to raise taxes. Lawson-Reamer has an idea that's commonly referred to as a mansion tax. She would put a tax on the sale of the top 1% of homes in San Diego.
Those with homes in the top 1% can pay for just a small share of that fortunate windfall.
She isn't the only one thinking of taxes. A coalition of groups focused on the high cost and lack of access to affordable childcare recently sent out a poll. It asks county residents if they would support a tax to fund childcare. Crucially, they would run it as a citizens' initiative. And why does that matter? Well, for Lawson-Reamer's proposed mansion tax, two-thirds of county voters would have to approve it. But if the childcare advocates put up a citizens' initiative, they could pass it with just a simple majority. I'm Scott Lewis for Voice of San Diego, and that's Why It Matters.
Project 2025 calls the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration a key driver of the, quote, climate change alarm industry. The Trump administration hasn't quite made good on the plan's push to break up the agency known as NOAA. But Amitha Sharma reports it may dramatically downsize it.
The Trump administration has cut 1,000 NOAA workers and floated the idea of shuttering its Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research. Paul Heppner, formerly with Friends of NOAA, says that would be a colossal blow to climate change study.
70% of the planet is covered by ocean, 30% by landmass. You have to understand the ocean.
Climate scientist Ralph Keeling says the shutdown of NOAA's research division would be devastating to San Diego's Scripps Institution of Oceanography, the two entities partner in ocean observations important to, quote, all aspects of society.
Where they're tracking currents offshore, and those measurements are relevant for studying the dispersal of pollution, for search and rescue, for tracking ocean heat waves that affect fisheries. I mean, these are $100 million industries, tourism that depends on this.
Keeling says the study is relevant to understanding how bad climate change will get and whether to retreat or fortify. He adds, without it, the U.S. is turning off the headlights and flying blind. Amita Sharma, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Looking for your next podcast? Check out KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Monday.